There are a few people suggesting that Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major since 2014, and that how can any player who's not won a major since 2014 be number one in the world? Jeremy, please, can you break it down for us?
Oh, easy question, sir. Do you explain how to explain the dark art of the world rankings? Well, it's less on major championships and more on consistency is what I think the simple answer to that is. And Rory, outside the majors, had an absolutely stellar season last year. He was barely out of the top 10 in any of his tournaments. He won the TPC, which is the next best thing to a major, and the Tour the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship at Eastlake as well. They're two huge wins. You can't get any bigger than that outside the major championships. Two other wins as well at Shanghai and Canada, which he played unbelievably in Canada. And so that made him Player of the Year, as voted by his peers, and is enough to nudge him ahead of Brooks on the world rankings. His eyes will still be on major championships, no doubt, and he would love to add to that. And I think he's put himself actually in a really good place to do that. We'll see, won't we? But it didn't quite work for him in the majors last year. But I think this is a fair reflection. And also, these world rankings, they shouldn't be taken too seriously. Because whether you have Brooks Koepka as number one or Rory McIlroy as number one, you still have an absolutely amazing golfer at the top of the list. So, you know, you take it for what it's worth.
Oh, 100%. And it's that unrelenting consistency to an extent, isn't it, with McIlroy as well? I know he missed the cut at Royal Port Rush back in July last year, but 11 tournaments that he's played and finished outside the top six only twice. You only have to look at his past four results, is it? He's been tied third, first, fourth, and third again. He is so consistent, and that's why he deserves to be where he is.
Yeah, and it was going on before that as well. I mean, even in exactly a year ago, he went on this run of not being outside the top 10. Won in March at the TPC, which obviously he's going to defend next month. And then what's great actually about the golf season now is that every month we've got a massive tournament to look forward to. So next month is the TPC, then it's the Masters, then it's the PGA Championship, followed by all the other majors and leading to the Ryder Cup in September. And one interesting thing is actually the USPGA is being played at Harding Park, which is in San Francisco, and he's a past winner around there. He won the world match play there in 2015, so it's a course that might suit him really well. He's won the PGA twice already. So it's looking, I mean, we know he can play Sawgrass, we know he can play Augusta, obviously he can play at Harding Park, and the other majors are Winged Foot and Royal St. George's last time. At Royal St. George's, Darren Clark, well, I'm not sure it was the last time, but anyway, Darren Clark's previous Northern Irish winner at Royal St. George's, so maybe that's a good omen too. So we know that the courses will suit him, and hopefully this time he can get it done. He said also that he's going to be slightly more aggressive or positive at the start of these tournaments. He's kind of tried to play himself in a little bit too quietly, he thinks. So that'll be interesting. And there's a few things that have sparked his rise to the top. You can go back to the summer of 2018, where he said he'd hardly hit a fade, a ball that moved slightly left to right, for months. And I thought that was an astonishing thing. And he favours a draw, but he has to be able to hit a fade if he's going to be the best player in the world. And he started doing that. He won the TPC last year, playing mostly aiming left and fading the ball, which is most unlike him. And I thought that was a really good sign. He's had help from Brad Faxon on his putting, and his stats gained on putting have been, he's gone from 159th on the ranking to 97th to 24th in strokes gained putting in consecutive years. So that's a really good sign. And I just think and he's got a new caddy as well. So all the things, and it's his best mate, Harry Diamond, all the things are trending in the right direction for him. He had a fantastic year last year. That would boost his confidence. And he is, to some extent, a confidence player. So fingers crossed for this year.
Hey, Jeremy, what about what the question we're all asking, all British golf fans, is can Rory McIlroy win a major?
Well, I think he can. I absolutely, of course he can.
Because it's been a few years, hasn't it? It's been a few years now.
2014 since he won one. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And he hasn't quite got them right this year. Last year, rather. But the course is set up nicely for him. There are three on which he's performed really well before now, and Eastlake as well with the FedEx, which he won last year. So, it's all trending in the right direction. I think he absolutely can. He's the best player, most talented player of his generation. But just to give you an example, as a kid, he shot 61 round Portrush at the age of 16. I mean, that's just astonishing. And he's hardly been outside. Well, he hit the world rankings at the top 10 of the world rankings in 2009. And his worst position has been 13th on that list since then. Now, if you think of the ups and downs of players like Jason Day and Jordan Spieth, to name but a few, players rise and fall on these rankings massively. But to have that level of consistency, I think, is it shows that, you know, you're talking about a proper talent, the most talented player of his generation. I mean, Koepka and the like are very impressive. But to be honest, watching Rory in full flow is the most joyous watch in the modern game, I think.
Yeah.
I can't help think, Jeremy, that, I mean, one, it's going to be a stellar year, isn't it, for golf in 2020. All roads kind of leading to the Masters, I think, just so Rory can complete his set there. And that budding rivalry he's got with Koepka. I know that Koepka will say there isn't a rivalry, and I know he shut down those reports, didn't he? Especially one of last season with his four majors to Rory's zero since he started the tour. But Augusta is surely where it is. It's all going to get cracking. And with regards to the number one as well, I know that Rory's there and he fully deserves to be. But realistically, we could name, I don't know, five or six, couldn't we? John Rahm, Justin Thomas is in there. Tiger Woods on his day now seems to be able to be old Tiger Woods whenever he wants to be. DJ in the mix as well.
Yeah, Aaron Fleetwood and Molinari, Stenson, Phil Mickelson played one last week. You know, Matt Kuchar, Adam Scott, Patrick Reed. Yeah, the list goes on. We have a real sort of golden age of professional golf. The standard is incredible. And what's exciting is there's so many different players that can win. It reminds me a little bit of the 1980s, for those that can remember it, which was, again, a great time where there was no one dominant player. You had Nicholson and Watson, who were, you know, just on the downward patch in their careers. After winning, you know, consecutively and consistently all throughout the previous 20 years. But now it reminds me of that. I can't help thinking that golf was a bit dull when you knew that if Woods played well, he'd win. I call that the sort of Schumacher years of golf. And now you've got so many different players who play in different ways, different styles, and different swings. And I really like that. And it's a great watch.
Just quickly on Lee Westwood as well. Great to see old dogs learning new tricks. He won on the European Tour again, didn't he, just a few weeks ago. Phil Mickelson as well is back competing at the top. So just to add to those names as well, like I said, I think 2020 is going to be quite exciting.
Well, don't forget Graham McDowell as well. That's a great story. He's languishing in about 250th in the world rankings and now has pulled himself back into with a win last week with... into the top 50, and that's massive because that gets you into the major championships and the world championships and gets you onto the professional ladder in a massive way. So that's a great story too. So yes, it's lovely to see the old guys sticking in there.
Jeremy, lastly, before you go, just to finish on Rory, since first entering the world's top 10 in 2009, he's never been lower than 13th in the world rankings. Just, I don't know, put into words how special Rory McIlroy is and whether he really needs more majors, as everybody seems to be calling for, to be appreciated by his peers.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, four majors is probably not enough. But he's only 31, so he's got time to do it the way these guys work on their fitness, and he'll have a very long career, no doubt. I think... I mean, we love him over here, but they also love him in America. And I think what's different about Rory, it's not just about the golf for him. I read a really interesting, if the listeners want a real insight into Rory, there are great interviews with Paul Kimmage, and they're available online. Paul opens up by saying access to Rory McIlroy was completely open. He stayed for hours. He left him his phone number, said, if there's anything we've missed, just give me a call. And he compared it to interviews that he'd done with Nadal and Federer from the World of Tennis, who gave him 15 minutes and insisted that he asked questions about their sponsor and about particular brands of champagne and stuff. And I just think Rory's not like that. People see the real Rory, and that's one of the reasons why we all pull for him. It's not just about how he plays. He's a great person as well, and he's open. And I think that's a breath of fresh air in modern sport.